The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now we're going to talk about the recruitment ads that you may have seen online on TV perhaps for the Defence Forces. With everything going on in the world at the moment and following the Commission on the Defence Forces, it seems they're serious about getting more young people into the job and increasing numbers. With cadetship applications closing on this coming Monday, the 8th of March, what exactly is involved in joining the Army, the Air Corps and the Navy? Well, our reporter Alex Rowley went to find out from those in training.
As the Defence Forces has been recruiting over the last while, it seems that now more than ever they're looking for members. There's been years of underinvestment and people calling for more gear to be given to them and that they need more manpower. So why not see what's involved? Because over the last while I've seen a lot of recruitment drives online. They've been targeted at me and social media anyway. Considering that cadetships are closing this Monday, what is actually involved in undergoing a cadetship? So I decided to head to Casement Aerodrome Baldonnell. It's just in West Dublin and it's the home of the Irish Air Corps, and speak to a few cadets there in both air traffic control and elsewhere.
Fox Tango 269 wind 0801 will not remove 10 clear, touch and go. So my name's Cadet Samuel Massey. I'm a cadet here in the Irish Air Corps. I've joined in 2022 after doing my leaving cert. And I joined it as apprentice on the TMAS scheme. So I've done that for 2 years, and then I decided to go for the ATC cadetship as a bit of a career change. I had to do my 6 months of recruit and 2 to 3 star training. I then went to the technical training school here in Baldonnell, which is a 4-year long course. I did half of it. And the ATC cadetship came up, so I decided to apply for that.
And then when you were in here and you were doing the apprenticeship, what made you look over at the air traffic control tower?
You get a bit of up-camp experience in the apprenticeship, and being around all the aircraft, seeing the kind of operational side of things, it was something that really sparked my interest in coming over to the tower and giving that a go. In joining the ATC cadetship, air traffic control cadetship, I went down to the Curragh for 3 months of military training, similar to recruit training, but just a shorter period of time. I then went on to externally training abroad in Spain to do the basic course and to do a basic kind of knowledge of tower controlling and approach controlling. Over there, they start you from the basics. You don't have to have any aviation experience. I then came back here then in July. To start the course here. We did 3 weeks of unit training in the classroom, and then we started simulators similar to like in Spain. And then we went up into the live environment. So I did just over 90 hours of live on-the-job training with an instructor beside me. Every day you go up, it can be very different. It can be really quiet or it can be extremely busy. You could have up to 3 fixed-wing aircraft in a circuit, and you could have a heli going in between them. You could have guards lifting into the city or air ambulance coming from Athlone, stuff like that. And you're taught how to control all of that safely.
Are you never nervous doing it? Because it's a big responsibility.
It's a very big responsibility, but I think you almost have to take a step back and not look into it nearly too much, or else you would be a nervous wreck up there.
And what's the work pattern like then as well? Because that's the big thing at the moment, is everyone's talking about work-life balances and all that. So
yeah.
What's the kind of shift pattern that you would do in a week?
You roughly do about 4 hours a day. So you do 2 hours on in the morning, then 2 hours off, and then 2 hours on in the evening. So I find it really good balance in between. You can fit in your training, like your running or your gym.
And what's it like then actually being in the Air Corps in general, I suppose, for anybody? Because, you know, straight away what popped into my head was, you know, you didn't go to college, so you wouldn't have had all the mad nights out in college and everything like that, but you would have had probably a different experience. So what was that?
I suppose not having the college aspect of it, yeah, like you say, you miss out on all the nights out and all that kind of crack, but the friends you make here, you know, you can go out with them every night if you wanted to. There's a mess even here, you can go. So I don't feel like I really missed out on the college experience. Just like being around people your own age, you know, it's really enjoyable, and going and doing activities, I suppose, with them. Fox Tango 269 wind 0801 will not remove 10 clear, touch and go. 10 clear, touch and go, Fox Tango 269.
After that, we headed down the M7 towards the Curra camp. I'm currently looking at it where I'm standing at the moment, and I decided to speak to some army cadets. So this school is essentially the Defence Forces Training Centre. Now, no matter what side of the Defence Forces you go into, you'll spend some time here, whether it be the Army, the Air Corps or the Naval Service, but it's probably more well known for the Army. So we're going to speak to some army cadets to see what it's been like so far since they joined.
I'm Cadet Ryan Houlihan. I'm from Lubridge here in County Kildare, and I'm currently in the 102nd Cadet Class here in the DFTC. Yeah, I have 13 years previous service. I joined in 2012. The Defence Forces gave me many opportunities, including going back to college, something that I didn't do after school. So I gained a Level 7 in Electronic Engineering Military Communication Systems, moved on to start my Level 8 part-time, and I've actually deferred the course to start the cadetship. I saw the cadetship as a great opportunity to develop myself more, use my academics a little bit more, and just become a better leader.
What's the difference then between what you were doing and, let's say, what you're trained to do now, for people who might not know?
Yeah, so as an enlisted soldier, it's more boots on the ground, whereas as an officer, you're more in leadership positions and you're in command of more people. It's more like managerial roles.
Mm-hmm. And how have you found everything so far, and why, I suppose, what's made you stay in the Defence Forces? Because 17 years is a long time.
Like I mentioned, it was the opportunities that it's given me. When I left school, I didn't really know what path I wanted to take. I'm from a big army family as well, so it felt like the next natural step. But once I joined, I realised the opportunities it could give me. So the soldiering is something that always interested me. It's always great fun. And then moving into more recently, where I went back to college, I've got a bit more of an education. It's something that really drawn me to the organisation.
I'm Cadet Claire McCormack. I've been in the Defence Forces for about 16 months now, from the start of my cadetship. I wasn't fully sure what I wanted to do after secondary school, and I came straight from secondary school, so I was a school leaver, so I came straight after my Leaving Cert, and I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do in college, but I heard about all the great opportunities within the Defence Forces, especially within the cadetship.
You came straight from school, so has that been a tough adjustment, or do you think do you think there's no issue there whatsoever?
I actually think it's better coming straight from school, adjusting to a military lifestyle, because in school you were kind of told what you had to do. You're kind of used to someone telling you what you have to do during the day, like a teacher or a principal. And it's the same when you come into the military. You have someone above you telling you what to do, when. And with college, with the cadetship, you can go to college after you finish your 18 months, so it's a great opportunity there as well.
So if you can't take orders, it's not the career for you?
No, you kind of have to be able to listen and take direction. So when you commission, you get sent to a unit for a year and a half, and then for a school leaver like myself, after that year and a half, you go to college for 4 years. Well, for my case, I will be going to college for 4 years, and then you get sent back to that original unit that you're in.
Do you already know what you want to do in college, or did they tell you what you're going to go do? Or
There's a list of courses that you can choose from, and if you have a specific course that you want to do outside of that list of courses, you can put in a request, and if it's applicable to the Army or if they could find it useful in some way, you'll be allowed to do that course as well. I've already put in my CAO options.
You often see like there's football teams and things like that, so have you got involved in anything like that?
Yeah, last week I was actually playing on the DF women's rugby team. I've never played rugby before, but there's just such great opportunities within the Defence Forces to start new sports. And I also play Gaelic football with the DF women's team as well.
What was the toughest part of the training so far?
I'd say the toughest part of the training so far was when we completed Exercise Long Reach, which was a 17-kilometre tap across the Wicklow Mountains with 35 pounds on our back. So it was definitely a big physical challenge.
After speaking to some of the cadets who are currently undergoing training or have finished their training, I decided to speak to somebody who actually is in the know of how you can apply and what is actually involved in joining the Defence Forces.
My name is Commandant Ryan Van Haften, and I'm OC Recruitment in the Irish Defence Forces. So that would be General Service Recruitment, Direct Entry, cadetships as well. Yeah, so the cadetship competition is closed on the 8th of March, which is Monday, but there is a variety of different cadetships. If you look at the Army, there is Army Engineering Cadets, Army Ordnance Cadets, Equitation Cadets, and Army Line, which is what I am. There, in the naval service, there is marine engineering, electrical engineering, and operations officers. And in the air corps, there is air traffic controller and pilot.
And we heard, like, there was, for instance, a lot of shortage in air traffic control recently, not just in the air corps, in like Cork Airport and Dublin Airport and places like that. So has that been a challenge to try and recruit people like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think it's a challenge across the board. And the Defence Forces are trying to do something about it. Like, we have good application numbers in the air traffic controller cadetship currently, and we're also looking in the future to launch a direct entry air traffic controller competition.
I think a lot of people who might be wary of joining because they're thinking this doesn't look as safe as it was once, maybe, because even though we're a neutral country, the likelihood of going to war is extremely slim. But at the end of the day, you're going to be the first call up if something does happen.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And look, in the Defence Forces, we're always preparing for everything, for every possible outcome. And like, when you're doing a cadetship, for example, you're put in leadership positions. Like, we've all, a lot of us have served overseas already in conflict zones across the world. And I'm sure that will continue in the future. Whatever happens, however the political landscape in the world changes and shifts, but we'll always be ready, the Defence Forces, when called upon, if called upon.
You said you've been overseas, so where have you been?
I've been to Lebanon, so all my trips have been to Lebanon. Okay. My last trip, I came back in 2023, so I done 18 months over in Lebanon, and it was obviously during the outbreak of the war in the middle in Gaza.
You know, it seems that you're seeing more and more ads for the Defence Forces now at the moment, and there's more and more recruitment. Is that because there's more investment, or, you know, numbers are falling and you need to get them back up, or what's the story?
It's like, it's a combination of everything. Like, last year we recruited 790, which would have been the highest number in a long time. This year we have a target of 850. In recent years we have targeted social media a lot, to obviously garner the attention of the younger generations. We've obviously launched a female campaign now, a television ad, try and increase the number of females joining the Defence Forces. Obviously, the cadetship is currently an ongoing process. That's only open once a year. General service recruitment is open all year round. The starting salary in general service for a private soldier, once he's finished training, is 42k plus. You've got a lot of benefits in terms of healthcare. You've living in accommodation. Meals or rations are provided for. Excellent training facilities. You earn while you learn in cadets and in enlistment ranks.
And now we've heard exactly what is involved in undertaking a cadetship with the Defence Forces. And of course, applications are closing on Monday. After years of underinvestment in the Defence Forces, it seems that they're now stepping up many members, with that target of 850 soldiers into the Defence Forces this year.
And that was our reporter, Alex Rowley, with cadets from the Air Corps and the Army.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.